open with a word of prayer. Father, as we come this morning to your scriptures and as we think about being fathers to our children, mothers, we think about you as our Heavenly Father, and we think about the way you have shown us grace, the way you have given us your scriptures, and we do pray this morning you would give us clarity as we look to your word, as we look for encouragement, as we look for instruction, as we look for correction, as we look to you to, in every area of our life, to bring about change and to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ, being more and more pleasing to you in all that we do and say. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're beginning a new series this morning, and in one sense, it's sort of a pickup on the series I did in Proverbs. Some of you were in that class, some of you were not. In the book of Proverbs, we looked at wisdom issues. We saw that the book of Proverbs addresses what's right and wrong, but goes beyond what's right and wrong and talks about what is wise. Talks about insights that we have in dealing with life, understanding how life works, understanding how we have to interact with those around us and with our world around us in a way that is not only pleasing to God, but is wise and will give good return, if you will. And dealing with the topic of biblical parenting calls for wisdom probably more than any other subject. This is a very complicated topic. It's one, at the same time, it's very practical. The Proverbs have a lot to say about it, and so do a number of other texts in the Bible. So we're going to pick up with some Proverbs, but we're going to move beyond that, and we're going to be looking at what the Scriptures have to say about parenting, how to be good parents. And I think it bears saying on the front end that parenting is very, very important. There are a few things in life more challenging and more rewarding than being a good parent to your children. And you just have to look at a few Proverbs to get that idea. Not that you wouldn't know that already. We see things like a wise son makes a glad father. Or in the passage written to the excellent wife and mother, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. We see that the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. Discipline your son, and he will give you rest. He will give you delight in your heart. So as we look at these passages, we see really positive results from good parenting. We see gladness. We see blessedness. We see rejoicing. And that's something we all want in our life. On the other hand, there are a few things in life more tragic than to invest years of your life caring for and raising children only to have them turn out bad. You know, you all who are parents invest a lot of time day to day, you know this, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, in raising your kids. You spend resources and time, they're the center of your life. Wouldn't it be a tragedy to have invested that much and have it all go wrong? And that can't happen. The scripture warns, it says, he who sires a fool gets himself sorrow, and the father of a fool has no joy. A foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. We have a warning from an older writer, J.C. Ryle. You may be familiar with him. I'm going to recommend his book to you. This is a quote from that book. He says, if you do not take trouble with your children when they're young, they will give you trouble when you're old. Choose what you prefer. That's good advice. You know, Sandy and I today, we probably actually could think of a couple people in this category, but one really stands out in my mind. An older couple, nice folks, they're good friends of ours. They raised their kids years ago and made a lot of mistakes in the process. And today, they have two children. Both of them have addiction issues. Both of them hate their parents. They have grandchildren, and the kids withhold the grandchildren from them, won't let them see them. And they are, day after day, they are sad about their situation. And they know in many ways why it happened, but it's too late in many respects for them. We don't want to end up like that. And I know I'm focusing here on the end of road issues, but there's actually also a lot of joy to be had today in raising kids right. There's also a lot of sorrow to be had today and doing a bad job with your kids. So we want to see what the scriptures have to teach us. We want to become wise. We want to do a good job in this area. And so we're going to look where we always look, to the Word of God. Now, like everything in life, the outcome of parenting is ultimately under God's sovereign control. So there's one said, we want to be balanced. We want to say, you know, we have total control. We can make everything come out exactly so. We know no matter how much we try to exert ourselves, no matter how much effort we make, in the end, God is sovereign, and He will bring things into our life we never expected. And there are going to be outcomes that puzzle us sometimes. We know that. But this does not mean that parenting is a hit or miss proposition in which the parent has no control. To the contrary, the scriptures teach us that as parents, we play a big role in how our kids come out. And this is a passage we're going to just about wear out in this class, but it's a good one. Train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Now, those of you who were in my Proverbs class know that, and I have pointed out numerous times through the course, that I don't take the proverb as absolute promises, but as general rules about how life works. So when I see something like this, I don't take it to mean absolute 100% guarantee your child's going to come out the way he should if you do it right. First of all, we don't have to worry about that because none of us do it right all the time anyways. So even if we wanted to take it that way, it wouldn't get us there. But generally speaking, I think if you do a good job with your kids, you're going to see dividends from that. That's why we want to pay attention. We want to be balanced. We want to recognize God's sovereign. We want to recognize we're not in control. But we also want to recognize we are responsible and we can make a difference and we want to make a difference. There is such thing as good parenting and bad parenting. Let me just give you a few expectations for the class. As an experienced parent and Bible teacher, I want to be an encouragement to you as parents. I put this front and center in terms of what I want out of the class, because the last thing in the world I would want to come out of this class is for people to come out of here feeling like I was somehow, you know, talking down to them, being judgmental, or making them feel sort of beat down in some way. Total opposite. What I want you to do, I know you struggle day to day with your kids, you have enough fights on your hands, you have enough troubles on your hands. I want you to come out of this class feeling encouraged, feeling like in areas where you've been trying to sort things out or you know things maybe aren't quite right and you haven't figured it out yet, that we can get good answers. We can give you hope that there are ways to deal with some of the things you've been facing day to day. I mentioned here I'm an experienced parent. Most of you have met my four kids. We've been blessed to raise four kids. They're all adults now. Are they perfect kids? No. Were we perfect parents? Absolutely not. Did we do a better job sometimes than others? Yes. And one of the things I hope that I can share with you from my own experience, from the day that Sandy and I married and we began raising kids together, I can tell you for the most part, obviously we all are human and we waver in our intents and in our ability to do what we'd like to do, but I can tell you that generally speaking, I have always tried to do the right thing in the way I raise my kids. But I can also tell you that over the years, I could look back and see that some of the things that went on early on when I didn't have the wisdom that I had later, I made a lot of mistakes, unwittingly maybe, but I made a lot of mistakes. And so one of the encouragements I want to bring to the class is that I hope you can learn from some of my mistakes as well. I can share with you some of the things I've been through personally. It's not about me, don't take it that way, but along the way, as illustrations come up or as we speak to things, I'd like to be able to do that. And I should point out too, there are other experienced parents in here as well who will be able to share with you. We have the shepherds who have done a great job raising their kids and still in process even. They'll have wisdom to share. Nancy, no doubt, will have wisdom to share. Or those who are along the way, the Lloyds and so forth. And even as we share with one another our day-to-day experiences. So I want it to be a class where we can interact, where we can encourage one another, and I want encouragement to be the key word that comes out of the class. The other thing I'd like to see come about as a result of having a class like this is that we see within our church a Christian community that shares a common understanding about what constitutes wise, God-honoring, scripture-based parenting. I think we all come at things, first and foremost, we tend to come at parenting and come at families from the perspective of the way we were raised. That's just natural. It's the first thing you do. It's your first experience. And you fall back on that a lot more than you realize. That was one of the things I learned early on. You know, much of what I was operating from were premises and principles that had just kind of, I didn't even think about them. Just like the air you breathe, you know, you don't even know you're breathing it. But it's just the way you operate, it's the way you function. What I'd like to see us do is take, we come from all those different backgrounds, we want to come together around the things that we can all share in common, which is the scriptures. The scriptures give us a very clear standard that we can all come together on and share in. And we can be encouraging to one another. Now I should mention at this point, I mean, many of you are parents, I'm going to keep talking to you parents, some of you aren't parents. But maybe someday you will parent. Or maybe you won't. But even if you don't, all of us can be a part of the community. Even if you don't have kids, you can still be encouraging to somebody who has kids. Or even if you've had your kids, you've already raised them, you can still especially be an encouragement to people who are raising them now. So I don't want anybody to feel left out. If nothing else, all of us were parented, right? So all of us fit in this deal somewhere. And I don't want, again, there's going to be a focus in the class, I'll be honest. We're going to be focusing on people who are raising young kids because that's where a lot of the kids, a lot of the people in the class are in their station of life right now. But I want you to know everybody is included and I want you to feel included. So that as often as we gather together, this would be the result. We stir one another up, encourage one another to observe good, loving, scripture-based parenting practices. You know, Hebrews 10:23 talks about encouraging one another all the more as we see the day approaching. And this is one area we can do that. Because parenting is a very practical, everyday thing. So just a few things about the class itself. Again, just the introductory type things that are important to kind of get out there so we know where we are. I think you're already getting the idea. I want this class to be very practical. There's a sense in which all scripture is practical, but some things are more day-to-day life kind of things. And sometimes when you're teaching, you're more on an academic level. Of course, there are academics to any class. This class is no exception. But I think you're going to find me digging down into practical examples, practical illustrations, interacting about particular situations or what have you, more than we would in a class about the furniture in the Hebrew temple or something. You know, it's going to be much more practical than that. And here's something that's new also. Typically, the way we do classes here at the church, where I've done my classes, have been more or less a lecture format where I get up here and lecture, kind of like I've been doing to you the whole time so far. And then at the very end, if you have a question or two, you can ask it and we interact and we go home. And you know, yeah, if you have a question along the way and just can't wait, you can raise your hand and ask it, sure. But generally speaking, that's kind of how we encourage things to go. And there's nothing wrong with that. And probably classes I teach in the future will go back to being like that. I want this class to be a little bit different on that count. And what I would like, what I'm going to try to do, we'll see how this goes, is I'm going to, at times, break into the class and turn around and start asking you questions and get some interaction during class, and then we'll go back into a sort of a lecture mode. So it's not going to be like, okay, it's all group discussion from now on, but I'm going to have selected periods where I want some response from you. I want you to interact, not only with the material, but with each other even, a little bit. And I may call on some of you. I know that we're not used to that. Sometimes, you know, if I say any questions, everybody goes, and they just look, you know. And I understand that. I've sat out there and felt that way myself. But I'm going to try to prod you all a little bit and encourage you to participate. And the reason I want to do that is because, again, what are we trying to do here? My stated goal was to build a community where we can encourage one another and interact with one another. A lot of you are sitting out there and you're listening to things and you're going, okay, I hear that, but what about this, what about that? I want us to interact a little bit about that, okay? And I want to have a chance to air out some questions or some thoughts or some ideas or what have you. But I want to do it in a sensible, reasonable fashion. We're not going to let chaos reign, hopefully. But we'll be able to have a good practical discussion, and I'll try to lead that and then bring us back on course and go back into more of a I like your approach again. If you hear things in this class that are very new to you, you may hear some things that it's like, oh, I don't know about that. I hadn't heard that before. I doubt I'm going to show you any scriptures that you haven't heard before. Possible, I suppose. But I may show you what I think is an implication of a scripture that you might not have thought of before. Or somebody else may bring something like that up. And you may go, that being the case, I want to encourage you, listen with an open mind. Be good Bereans. You know, you guys know about the Bereans in Acts chapter 17, where it commends them because they searched the scriptures to see that the things the Apostle Paul was teaching was so. So if it's good to check up on the Apostle Paul, it's good to check up on me, and it's good to check up on what other people are saying. We're not asking you to just buy things outright, and I'm also asking you to guard against a tendency to, maybe you'll look at me and think, well, you know, I mean, he's from a generation when they thought a certain way, and I'm a part of a generation that thinks a different way, kind of blow that off. All right? Well, before you blow it off, please have an open mind and look at the scriptures and see if there's not more to it than that. If it comes down to it, yeah, it's just something I grew up with and I'm just telling you what I was used to, you don't need to listen to that. But if what I have to say is something that scripture does imply or teach, then obviously I hope you'll consider that. Some people have asked me, do you have any books you recommend? I do. In fact, there's several I'm going to quote from extensively in this class because they're very helpful. Honestly, there are a lot of really good books out there. So this list I'm going to give you is very incomplete in one sense. But these are books that I've recently worked with that I like, that I can recommend pretty much without reservation. Every book has its areas, you know. But I'll just give you a few of these, and you're welcome to come up and peruse them. I have them up on the table here if you want to purchase some. It'd be a good investment for you. The Trips, anything by the Trips is good. Ted Tripp has one called Shepherding a Child's Heart. Great book. There's a video series that those guys, I think there's several video series those guys do. Great stuff. There's an older writer, I've mentioned him already earlier, J.C. Ryle. Now, how many of you are familiar with J.C. Ryle, like from his Holiness of God? He's written a lot of stuff that people are familiar with. He wrote about 100 years ago, I think, something like that, or more. I like when exploring an issue like this, especially has a lot of cultural ramifications to it, I like to go back and include, not exclusively, but just include writings from another time. We tend to be blind to things in our own age because we're all immersed in our age and we just don't see certain things. And you go back 100 years or 150 years to somebody who didn't have, you know, computers and phones and crazy things that go on in the society that we see today. And they sometimes speak to things from a different angle that is helpful to us. So I really recommend this. This is a great book called Duties of Parents. I have it up here. This is the latest cover. It doesn't even look like something an older writer would write, but it is. They just changed the cover. Another book called Don't Make Me Count to Three by Ginger Plowman. And it's a cute book. It's written by, it's kind of by a mom, two moms primarily, but honestly, I find her articulation of some of the issues to be so helpful. I will cite from her quite a bit in her book. Very good writer, very, very easy to understand, very practical, and right on the money most of the time what she has to say, I think. There's another one, I own this book, and I just, for the life of me, couldn't find it this morning. It's by a guy named Lee Priolo called Heart of Anger. And it's a detailed book about dealing with, if you have a kid that has a lot of anger problems and you want to get down to the nitty gritty, good book to get is that one. I had it flash up there and I didn't even read it. There's one, the very first one, What the Bible Says About Child Training by J. Richard Fugate. Sandy and I have had this book for years. He's one of those guys that every once in a while he gets a little bit too wrapped around the axle about certain things, so I recommend him with a little hesitation. But the reason I still recommend him is because he really nails it when he nails it. He's hard-hitting, and he just really does a good job, and he's very committed to Scripture and the inspiration of Scripture and the authority of Scripture and parenting according to Scripture and all that good stuff. So I still recommend it. I think it's a good book. And I will quote from him quite a bit also, because again, he tends to really hit the nail on the head in terms of getting down to the practical ins and outs of things. So those are some books to think about and purchase. I'm sure you'll find others. Read all you can find out there. It can be helpful. Just a kind of an overview of the class. We're going to start with foundational principles this morning, and I consider those to be the following three things. First, we're going to look at the fact the Bible's our authoritative guide. That's not news to anybody, but we're gonna look into that just a bit. We're gonna then look at the nature of children, and we're gonna look at the role of parents. Just big picture. And once you lay these principles down as the foundation, then you're ready to start building into some of the more detailed and practical type areas. The core of what we're gonna cover and where we'll spend by far the most time is a section I've titled, How to Raise Wise, Godly Children. And the focus here is going to be on kids of a younger age. We're going to start with training your child to obey, because I consider obedience the baseline. We'll talk about that. We're going to talk about dealing with rebellion in your kids, and that gets into all the things like spanking and rebuke and forgiveness and all those kinds of things. We're going to look at training in righteousness. So, okay, we talked about training to obey. But this goes beyond. This teaches a child to begin to progress and become wise and godly. Talks about introducing them to the gospel, things like this. We're talking about aiming for the heart. You're always, you work externally, obviously, with your children. You're speaking, you're spanking, you're doing whatever you're doing. But the goal is always to reach the heart of the child. That's the goal. You don't want to forget that. You don't want just mere outward conformity. But you want to begin to change the way your children think about things and how they view life. And you want to be aware of how they're thinking about things and how they're viewing life. And you interact with them at that level. So we're going to focus on that. I'm going to have a section at the end that talks about raising teenagers. Because we have people who are still raising teenagers, for one thing. And we want to encourage them. Because the basic thing you're focusing on with teenagers is preparing them for adulthood. They're about to be launched. And been through that stage, I know what that's like, and hopefully I can say some encouraging things and point you to some scriptures in that area. Those of you who don't have teenagers and you have little kids, they're going to become teenagers one day, so you want to see what's coming down the road. I'm thinking about adding another section. I've read, I don't know how many books on child training over the years. I don't know that I've ever seen a book that talks about interacting with your children as adults. How about that one? I might throw that in, because that's something I do a lot, and it's more complicated than you might think. You know, because I still try to retain a helpful and productive role with my children, even as adults. It's very different. I don't control them anymore. They don't take orders from me. I'm more of a coach, sort of a friend, but not just a friend. My oldest son the other night, we were talking about some of these issues, he referred to me as the patriarch. You know, it's a very different role. Very interesting. We may get into that. I didn't list it on my outline, but we may. All right. Let's start with the foundational principles and start to get some of these under our belt. Very well-known scripture here. All scripture is God-breathed. I should read it. I memorized this, so I said it from memory rather than reading it. All scripture is breathed out by God. Same idea. And profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training, in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. All right, little interaction here. Let's get a warm-up on this. Here's some questions for you. And I want to hear back from you. No trick questions here. It talks about being equipped for every good work. Is parenting a good work? In unison, the class said, yes. All right, we got that one. Good. All right. here's a little deeper. Here's a little deeper. See if somebody can take a shot at this. There's no one right answer to this. What role does Scripture, the Bible, serve in preparing us for the good work of biblical parenting according to this verse? I know you can think of lots of ways, but look at the verse. What does the verse tell us? What does this verse tell us is the role of Scripture in preparing us for parenting? There's several things said there. Anybody?
Training. There's this teaching.
Yeah. So the Bible's going to train us to teach, to parent our children. What else is the Bible going to do? I see. You have to shout loud because I don't hear you.
Correction.
So what does that look like? So maybe you have an idea about something that parenting should be like or something that should happen in parenting. And this is telling us that you hear the Scriptures, and this possibility is the Scripture may actually go against what you think and you may need to make a correction. Is that kind of what you see there? That's not easy, is it? None of us like to be corrected. But we're glad afterwards, aren't we? I hope we are.
Scripture is the things in the bowling alley that when your ball goes off, it drops you back and puts you in a better amount.
Good illustration. Yeah, so in one sense, this is pat, right? I mean, who in this class would say, oh, I don't believe we should look to the Bible? Of course we look to the Bible. But really think about what that means. As we're looking at these Scriptures, we're looking to be trained. We're looking to be corrected. We're looking to, what else it was not brought up? We're looking for it to be profitable. We're looking for us to become more righteous, more equipped. These are encouraging things. Remember I said I wanted this class to be encouraging. This is encouraging. And so I want us to think about Scripture in that way. Even though it's something we all obviously creedily sign off on before we ever walk in the door, think about it in practical terms. This is an illustration. It's probably one you've heard something similar to this before, but I liked it. When someone buys a new appliance, he's provided with an instruction manual by the manufacturer. It tells how to use the appliance, how to keep it in best working order. If something goes wrong, the customer is encouraged to contact the manufacturer for repairs. So it is with family. The family is God's idea. He brought it into being. In His Word, He has given clear instructions as to how He intends it to function. When parents experience problems in training their children, He's the one to be consulted. He's given parents the rich counsel of His wisdom to guide them in the important matter of training their children. Now, of course, if you're like me and you get something new, you cast the manual aside and say, ah. And then when it breaks, you go, let's go look at that manual. Right? Maybe we do that with the Bible sometimes. I've heard it said, you know, some people say, you know, kids don't come with instruction manuals. Yes and no. Actually, they do. If you're a Christian, you have an instruction manual. So that's what we're saying about the Bible. We want to go back and find out from the instruction manual how it's supposed to work so that we don't break the thing, right? Thing being your kids here. All right, now we're going to have a little fun. Who does the world out there look to for guidance and approval? Because we know they're not looking to the Scriptures, right? Well, to help us with this, there was a recent article I was put onto this by Dr. Al Mohler. He referenced this article several months back, I think, in Time Magazine. And Time Magazine had a cover article called, Help, My Children Are Millennials. And the subtitle is, How This Generation is Changing the Way We Raise Our Kids. Now, you may know, probably most of you know, millennials are those who were born between about 1980 and 2000. And those are that's the big parenting generation right now, right? How many of you are millennials who are parents? Yeah, we got a lot of those in here, right? Now, the millennials being talked about in Time Magazine are millennials out there in general, and I don't expect a description of millennials in general to be a description of those who just raised their hand. Any more than, you know, I'm considered a baby boomer. And if you, heaven help me, but if you read an article on a baby boomer, it probably would not describe me, generally speaking. especially if it was in Time Magazine talking about baby boomers in America. Don't think so. So don't think when I give you some citations from this article, I'm thinking this describes you. But here's what I am thinking, though. All of us are affected by the world around us, whether we like it or not. And sometimes we're affected very deeply and in ways we're not even aware of. One illustration I heard of this is a fish. Is a fish aware of water? I mean, I don't know, fish are dumb. They might not be aware of anything, but. water is what a fish moves. It's just so much a part of where he moves up. Think about us with air. We don't think about air very much, right? We just breathe it. It's just there. It's a part of who we are. And whether we like it or not, it's just built into our makeup. Well, when we work in society and we're influenced by all the stuff that's going on out there, whether we like it or not, and whether we fight it against it or not, we're influenced by this. So I bring this up as examples of your generation, those of you who raise your hand, and how those guys out there are raising their kids. And this is the pressure that you're feeling as parents, no doubt. So let's take a look at just, I'm citing some things. You're welcome to read the whole article. I have it up here, or you can Google it. It's the October 26, 2015 issue, for those who want to go look it up later. Now, here's some citations. Nearly 80% of millennial moms say it's important to be the perfect mom. Many of them are posting an impossibly pristine, accomplished version of their family lives on the web. Anybody relate to this? Anybody seen this happening? It helps only a little to know that people are being highly selective about what they share. Someone will put out there, oh, I just braided my child's hair. Yeah, but you just yelled at them like 50 times to sit down. They don't put that on the internet, right? A 31-year-old research administrator and single mom in Cleveland calls it mom petition, like competition. Social media, she says, is the worst. I'm like, ugh, there's a 7-month-old walking on Facebook. What are you doing, Liam? Does anybody feel this pressure? Is this part of your generation? Do you feel this? I mean, I know you're not exactly here, but you've seen this, I know. Every post or tweet invites opinions on one's choices from the typical millennials network of 500 Facebook friends, at least half of whom are likely to be loose acquaintances. So this is a part of what's happening out there in the world. This is how the world is functioning in terms of their parenting. And this is where the world is looking for guidance and approval. So here are some questions. Now here we are again. I'm going to throw it back to you all. How do we know, the article asserted this, and I believe it's true, how do we know the picture that most people paint of their family on Facebook is unrealistic? Somebody want to take a shot at that? Huh? It involves humans. And people are going to be unrealistic by nature. Is that what you're saying? That's true. And it's hard to keep that in mind, though. I mean, we know that, right? Everybody knows. That's no surprise. I didn't tell you anything you didn't know, or Time Magazine didn't tell you anything you didn't know. But you forget that because you're just seeing this really cool picture out there. These other families think, why is my family like that, you know? Or they're doing it, what I would consider biblically, a terrible job parenting. But their families are fantastic. There's no problems. Really? I mean, even think about what you post on Facebook. You put your worst moments out there. You put videos of yourself screaming and losing your temper with your kids. Is that ever happened? I don't think so. And I'm not saying you should. Don't get me wrong. But let's just be real here about what we're seeing out there in the world.
I think even when people do post the messy, oops, my kid got into the paint moment, like they're meaning that to be fun. Happening, but
Yeah. And again, I don't take this article, and I'm certainly not being critical and saying, hey, don't get on Facebook or anything. I'm just saying, let's be realistic about what's happening when these things are taking place. Now, here's a little deeper question. Is there a danger in seeking approval and kudos from your Facebook friends? Or any of your friends. I mean, it doesn't have to be just Facebook. That seems to be the way everybody's communicating in large measure. But is there a danger in that? And if so, what?
Taking satisfaction from the result you're getting when you post something. And then having that be a driving factor to what and when you post.
Yeah.
Or even I think it's affecting how our teenagers are thinking. I'm seeing that in our kids at school.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be, I mean, on one level, right, everybody wants people to think highly of them. That's a natural, normal thing. But I think what I hear Paul saying, what I think I see here is that when you begin to put too much emphasis on that, when that becomes the thing that you're really driving for, that you're really looking to for your sense of well-being and so forth, where should we be looking? We should be looking to the Scripture. We should be looking to our Christian community, largely, for those things, because they're going to give us things from a realistic perspective as God sees it. And not the world can give you all kinds of, they can affirm the craziest thing on Facebook. I have seen it out there. You know, somebody puts some goofy thing out there and says, oh, this is great, you know. Is it? Is it? I mean, you've got to ask that question. Maybe it is great. Maybe it is. I'm not saying it's always bad. But think about it. Just think about it. And don't just mindlessly go with the way things are going, because that's the tendency out there. Is there a danger in looking to a consensus of your Facebook friends for decision-making in child training? Kind of a similar question, but one talks about your sense of well-being and kudos. This one talks about right and wrong, good and bad. You think it's okay if I do blah, blah, blah with my child? Well, are you going to get good answers on Facebook? Maybe. But we want to ultimately come back to looking at Scripture and what it has to say. And we want to put whatever we get on Facebook or from any of our friends, even our parents for that matter sometimes, depending on how wise your parents are, we want to put things in perspective of what the Scriptures have to say. So that's my encouragement to you this morning. All right. What time are we supposed to finish this after that? I've been so long since I thought.
I think we've had 2 hours.
Okay, so we need to go ahead and wrap up. Somebody want to say something? I started to hear something.
I was going to say that, you know, very clearly for all of our friends, Christians. So would it be improper to apply this to those who say constantly? I mean, if you're going to look at Facebook and you're saying, I don't care if you're Christian or not, I want your advice across the board. Hundreds of times I've seen people throw something out there and it's like, somebody should really. Oh, don't worry about it, everybody makes mistakes, you'll be all right, we're all human.
Yeah.
You know, just stuff where it's like, what kind of advice is that? This person really does need some advice and help, and you're not even a parent, you're not even a Christian, and you're just throwing something out there and trying, oh, well, I did my good thing today, I helped someone out. Somebody follows me on Facebook and say, hey, I'm okay. Just, you know, 15 people would like
And then when I said I'll do something, you know, got good affirmation. Dig a little deeper.
All right, well, apparently we're out of time, so let me just focus in prayer and look forward to seeing you all in the coming weeks as we explore these things in a deeper level and have a great time together. Father, again, I just want to, want my prayer to be about, as I just told the class, that this would be encouraging to them. This would be a place for us to be able to get ideas out of one another and also dig into the scriptures to learn, to look into these things, and to just have a very profitable time that we might all become either better parents or better members of the Christian community to encourage parents in these areas. We pray these things in Christ's name. Let's listen.